ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. We are the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Aaron Rabel on the other side of the glass, the mass controls at Aaron is Blitzed at ESPN 97.5 and on the Twitch feed at twitch.tv/ESPN975. Apparently, I have a really big fan on the text line who likes to send me really inappropriate text messages of how much he hates me. That's fine. You know, if nobody hates you, you're not doing something right. But maybe he doesn't understand that. I mean, dude, you're sending your phone number. I mean, you know what a reverse lookup is, right? Some people are really stupid. Don't quite understand what you think is anonymous. It's not necessarily anonymous. Just thought you'd like to know. So, Astros having a rough day at the park. They're down 6-0 in the top of the fifth. And it's pretty ugly. Not a good day for Lance McCullers Jr. He struggled. Didn't last very long. Astros, through four innings, have two hits, a double by Yuli, and one other hit. That's it. McCullers gives up 6 earned in 3 2/3, 4 hits, 3 walks, struck out 3. Joe Smith, who inherited some of those runners, well, not a real good day at the office for him either. He gave up 2 hits and a walk and did not retire a batter. He was fortunate. Brandon Belak came in and got out of the jam. Belak now pitching for the Astros as McCullers couldn't get out of the fourth and Smith couldn't get anybody. So it's one game. It's all it is one game. A lot of guys who really would not normally be playing in this game. Brantley and Yuli, the two guys who have hits. Now, believe it or not, the Astros only struck out one time. But 2 hits, no walks. They're just not getting anything going offensively. They'll figure it out. But today is not going to be a good day in Astros land. Just how it's going to be. Now, as far as your Houston Rockets go, just lose, baby. Just lose. You know, crazy to think what at one point they were, 11 and 10, and now they're 14-40. They now have the second worst record in the NBA, one game better than the Minnesota Timberwolves, who also have 14 wins, but they have 42 losses. They've played 2 more games than the Rockets. I don't feel real concerned about that. I feel like the Rockets are very capable of losing those 2 games they have in hand. No worries about that at all. And Rockets home tonight against the Pacers, and the Pacers aren't very good, but they should still beat the Rockets. And Indiana, in case you're looking for, all right, well, who the heck's on Indiana now? Well, believe it or not, you'll see a familiar face in Caris LeVert, who was a Rocket for like 32 minutes and was flipped to Indiana. He came to the Rockets in the Nets trade, was flipped to Indiana for Victor Oladipo. Caris LeVert the other day in a loss to the Clippers. 26 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Could have had that guy instead of Victor Oladipo. They also still have Domantas Sabonis, Justin Holiday, Malcolm Brogdon, Dougie McBuckets, TJ McConnell, Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb's still around. So, Pacers and the Rockets from Toyota Center tonight, tipping off right about now. And the reason it's important to, you know, watch the Rockets keep losing is because see how many draft picks they're going to get. Now, I'm sure it's been beaten into your brain by now that if they stink really bad and they get a top 4 pick in the lottery, they get to keep it. If they don't get a top 4 pick in the lottery, well, they're going to lose it. Here's what's going to happen. They have the deal with the Bucks, where they basically swap their second for a first. They'll move up a little bit. I mean, right now, the Rockets' second rounder would be 32. And the Bucks are currently projected to land at 24. So they'd move up 8 spots into the first round, and they'll pick up that pick. They had a chance to get a pick from the Pistons, but that pick is top 16 protected. The Pistons stink, so that pick not coming the Rockets' way. And that pick actually heavily protected for 3 more years, where, you know, unless Detroit suddenly gets better really fast, it's a top 16 protected pick in 2022, a top 18 protected pick in 2023 and 2024 before those protections lighten up. So probably not seeing that pick anytime soon. Then there's the whole Rockets, Thunder, Heat, Blazers, Nets combobulation. So the Rockets will get the swap with the Bucks to get a pick. Then they have the Blazers pick, which is top 14 protected. And as of right now, it looks like the Blazers would not be a team that would be in the top 14 picks. Blazers right now are the 6th seed in the West. They're 31-23, which would have them in 4th in the East. So they are not a lottery team. So that pick should convey. So the Rockets looking at 3 first-round picks this year. Now, that first pick, the Rockets pick, that's the one that's got a little funk on it. Because if the Rockets keep their pick in the top 4, which I guess they've got like a 52% chance of keeping their pick in the top 4, they would keep their pick. They get the Blazers pick, which right now would be 22. They get the Bucks pick, which right now would be 24. Now, if the Rockets somehow fall out of the top 4, the Thunder can swap. And the Thunder have the right to swap with either their own pick or with the Miami Heat's pick. Now, the Thunder right now would be like the 6th pick if we just went by record. And then Miami would be like number 17. So clearly they would flip Miami's pick with the Rockets' pick. And that would give the Rockets potentially three late to mid to late round first round picks versus a really high first and then two mid to late round picks. So as much as it's got to be really frustrating for Rockets fans to see the team be completely inept. I mean, their last game, they gave up 18 triples in one half. Like, clothesline somebody. Shove him out of bounds. Your arch rival's video game play. Every time he goes to shoot, shove him. But this is how the Rockets' potential draft stacks up. They got to lose. They got to get a top four pick. They're going to get the Blazers pick. They're going to get the Bucks pick. So for a team that wasn't going to have, you know, first round picks, really, they're looking at potentially three first rounders this year. And those three picks are not going to turn the Rockets from awful to really, really good next year. Probably be another year or so before we get to that point. But three first-round picks to go out and get some guys is certainly not the worst thing in the world. It gives them a chance to actually rebuild through the draft, which they basically did not do at all from the day they traded for James Harden. There was a report in the Chronicle came out today from Jonathan Fagan that the Rockets were actually victims of a cyber attack and that cyber hackers tried to put ransomware on all their internal systems. Now, the team thinks that their systems haven't been actually compromised. They were able to fend off the attack. There is an investigation. The FBI is involved. The Rockets said it did not impact operations. It did not result in the leak of information belonging to fans or employees. Maybe that remains to be seen. But as of right now, they don't think that there was any kind of data breach. Who the hell is running a cyber attack on one of the worst teams in the NBA? Like, why would you want the Rockets' information? Now, here's something interesting. Back in November, there was a similar, like, cyber attack on Manchester United of the Premier League. The club had to shut down their systems for several weeks. Now, supposedly no private information was compromised, but Man U got attacked by what they called organized cyber criminals. Understand there is no evidence of this, and this is pure speculation. Could you imagine that the Chinese government sanctioned like a cyber hit on the Rockets because of Maury's Hong Kong tweet, even though Maury's no longer with the team? Because we know that right now China hates the Rockets. Pure speculation, conspiracy theory. That is not a fact. That is not a report. That would be wild, though. We would end up getting a movie out of that. So there are NBA teams that are missing a lot of players tonight. And there's some NBA owners that really wish they thought some things through a little better. We'll get into it next.
Listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey,
let's talk about our friends out at 500 Golf Center, the Southeast Texas premier entertainment venue. You know, they're more than just golf, even though right now you can play golf for a lot less. You can get in the Top Golf Swing Suite for just $30 before noon, $40 before 5, $50 after 5, and no rental club fees. And on top of that, this Saturday night, Triller Fight Club, Jake Paul and Ben Askren, you can get in and watch the fight at 5 under. And enjoy lots of great food, full-service bar, lots of great time out there. And then while you're out there, maybe you hit the double-decker Top Tracer driving range, which also got some discounts. No outdoor club rental fees. All Top Tracer game time is discounted by $10. Maybe you get in the sim bay and you play in some different golf courses from around the country. Maybe you play a little zombie dodgeball. Zombie dodgeball is always fun. Go check them out, 5undergolf.com, the number 5, 5undergolf.com. Make your reservation today. 713-780-3776. We'll go back to the phone. So, John, you're on Late Hits. What's going on, John? Or not yet. All right, we'll come back to John later. Astros put a couple of runs on the board. They're down 6-2 now. Hey, they scored some runs. How about Jason Castro with a 2-run homer? It's something. All right, we'll try this one more time. John, what's going on, brother?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, we're going to have a swap meet.
Yeah, you are.
We got canceled twice in 2020, but we're ready to do it now.
So tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Okay, this is the 50th paid swap meet, April 22nd through April 24th. And we're all set to go. We've actually moved the swap meet about 80 yards to the east. We're not in our normal position on the, with the track. And doing this gave us a big advantage because we found a lot of extra spaces that we can sell.
Now, this, it's this swap
biggest,
meet.
Biggest swap. I'm sorry, Patrick.
I said, so this swap meet, this is... tell people a little bit about the type of things that you sell at this paid swap meet. It's the 50th one, so you've been around for a long time. You know, it's the Wheels Wellness Car Show. Tell us a little bit about what you're selling. This is going to be at Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth, and give people a little bit of idea of what you can find at this particular swap meet.
Well, we say that if you can't find it at pay swap meets, you don't need it. It'll be old car parts. It'll be modified car parts. It'll be motorcycle parts. It'll be Petroliana. It'll be just all kinds of automotive-related stuff.
Now, admission is free, and
yes.
Parking is just it's $5 if you park on site at the lot, so not it's a cheap event that you can get to go in, buy and sell, or maybe you just like looking at cars. They're gonna have all kinds of classic cars and hot rods and old cars and stuff. If you just like checking out cars, there's a lot of fun stuff to do up here. They'll got a car corral. They'll have lots of vehicles that are operating and running, and you can check them out. You can get parts. There's lots of cool stuff. If you're into cars, the paid swap meet is going to be a lot of fun for you. April 22nd to 24th. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week. It opens at 7 a.m., so if you're an early bird or you're a night owl, you got something that you can go to. It'll be a really cool event. Is there any specific, some kind of like event specific or something that you guys are pushing that's really big with the event this year?
We've actually got a car show going on during the same time of the swap meet. The car corral is full for a change. We've sold more spaces than we've ever sold in the past. And we've opened up for registration again. People are buying spaces now.
Oh, this is John Anderson. He is the president of the Pate Swap Meet. So this is the guy. He knows everything about it. You can check it out. PateSwapMeet.com, April 22nd to 24th. As I said, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week. It will open at 7 a.m. If you are a gearhead, if you're into classic cars, if you're into bikes, if you're into parts, everything is there for you. I mean, we got to get Trey in on this. Trey's got to be like all over the place. I'm going to make sure I send this out to Trey. Trey's our resident gearhead here at ESPN. So I definitely got to make sure I send them all that stuff. John, any other place where people can find everything, or PateSwapMeet.com? That's the home for everything.
We got the website. Now, the website is an electronic website. You can buy your spaces on the website and pay for them.
All right. So if you want to show off your car or do your stuff there, you can get it in there.
Exactly.
Well, John, sounds pretty cool, man. I appreciate you giving us a call. Tell us a little bit about the Pate Swap Meet. Again, it's the 22nd to the 24th. It's at Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth. John, appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, man. Thank you.
You bet. If people walk out of paint with a frown on their face, they didn't find what they were looking for, and we've never seen anybody do that before.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a great event, John. Thanks for taking some time with us today, buddy.
Okay, Pat. Thanks.
All right. That's John Anderson. He is the president of the Pate Swap Meets. If you're a gearhead, go check out PateSwapMeet.com, and you'll find lots of cool stuff. As I said, Astros now down 6-2. Hey, they got two. Can't say they don't score at home. Somebody asked on the text line if I would shop Carlos Correa and Kyle Tucker at the deadline for pitching. Number one, there's no way I'm trading Kyle Tucker. He's still super cheap. So no reason to trade Kyle Tucker. You're not trying to trade the guys that you aren't even paying yet. So Kyle Tucker, no, I would not be looking to trade Kyle Tucker. As far as Carlos Correa is concerned, I said the only way that I'm trading Carlos Correa is if we get to the deadline around that time and Astros are basically out of it. They've got no shot. Like, if the Astros are sunk, if they are, you know, everything, the wheels just come off, that's the only way I'm trading Correa. If I have a shot at the playoffs, Correa stays on the team. Realistically, you've shot at the playoffs. Look, we saw last year. Astros got in. They got to the ALCS. So, unless the wheels really come off of the team, Correa stays put. You deal with it after the season. Look, the Astros made their bed. They had to lie in it with Carlos Correa. They could have given him a real offer. They didn't. They gave him a BS offer. Then Lindor got his money, and they weren't even in the same stratosphere. So now they're going to have to wait till the end of the season and figure out they're going to pay Correa, they're going to let him walk, they're going to sign somebody else, they're going to make a move in-house, they're going to whatever they're going to do. But I wouldn't trade Correa at the deadline unless I have no chance of getting to the postseason. It's got to be an absolute disaster for the Astros to be in that predicament. It's Late Hits.
listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So it looks like we already have more Deshaun news. Tony Busby has now filed a 23rd civil case against Deshaun Watson, and three more of the alleged victims have now filed criminal reports with the police, according to the Washington Post. So there are now five criminal reports filed. And again, these are reports. These are not, like, he has not been charged. Just, you know, five of the alleged victims have filed a police report that now law enforcement will look into and investigate and see if it's see if there's merit to the case or not. Which, on one hand, you could say that's good for Deshaun, because if he really didn't do anything, then, you know, law enforcement will say, yeah, nothing to see here. We're not going to bring any charge. On the other hand, it's five different potential criminal cases that you're staring down. There's nothing good about that. So, you know, this is the double-edged sword he has because of what he's done and the way he conducted himself and the number of women that he had to roll in and out. Now, NBA right now has a lot of hindsight as 2020 and a lot of buyer's remorse from a handful of owners, Mark Cuban being one of them. And a lot of worst-case scenario expressed by a bunch of GMs and coaches and staffers and trainers over the way the NBA schedule has been slammed in. Compressed schedule, trying to make up games that were postponed due to COVID, trying to get the schedule in and come the whole season, the postseason finished before the Tokyo Olympics. A lot of teams feel has led to just a bevy of player injuries all around the league. In fact, tonight for the Clippers, no Kawhi, no PG, no Serge Ibaka, no Patrick Beverley. For the Brooklyn Nets tonight, no Kevin Durant, no LaMarcus Aldridge, no Blake Griffin, no James Harden. And it seems like we are seeing more stars are missing games more than we have in a very long time. Various NBA coaches, front office execs, etc., have used the following phrases, according to this ESPN article, to describe the season. The worst schedule I've seen in 25 years in the league. Brutal. Utterly insane. It is exponentially more difficult than the bubble. Never experienced anything like our injury spate. According to Elias, this season, all stars have missed 15% of games, which would be the second highest rate in the history of the league. One GM said, every dumb soft tissue that can happen is happening and will only get worse. Earlier in the week, Mark Cuban, Luka Doncic were lamenting the idea of these play-in games. How you play the whole season and then, all right, now we got to play play-in games. So maybe we played well enough all year to make the playoffs, but then two games at the very end, nope, sorry, you're out, bye. Well, what the hell do we play all those games for? I don't necessarily think he's wrong on that. But this is what the owners voted for. And the owners voted for this over the objections of their GMs, of their coaches, of their trainers. Like all these, every part of the team were telling their owners, hey, there's going to be a lot of problems with this. We're going to have a lot of injury issues. We're slamming too many games in too fast. There's no time to recover. But after a season where they had to finish the season in a bubble and play the playoffs with no fans, and this year, you know, they've played with limited fans, there were a lot of financial motivations for the NBA to play as many games as they could. There was a lot of pressure on them to get the entire season done before July 21st, because that's when the Summer Olympics in Tokyo start. And you want to be able to have some of your NBA stars, your NBA players, go over to Tokyo to compete in the Olympics. Although a lot of them might be totally gassed. Might want to try to find the best players on the teams that didn't make the postseason or were knocked out in the first round. Because the guys who go to the finals, yeah, they're going to be gassed. But here we have a perfect example of a league that clearly decided money was far more important than player health and safety. They already took their hit last year. They didn't want to take too large a hit this year. So they modified games. They modified the schedule. Now, the NBA often has a grueling schedule where you'll see a lot of 3 games in 4 days, 4 games in 5 days, 5 games in 7 days, and they've really done their best to eliminate those type of situations. But in the second half of this year, because of all the games they missed in the first half, 32 games the first half of the season were postponed due to COVID, they've had to go back to the 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, 5 out of 7. By the time that we get through the second half, the Grizzlies are going to do 3 games in 4 nights, 7 times. Most teams were scheduled to do 11 3 out of 4s before the break. That's now going to be 14 games like that after the break. But the Grizzlies are going to have 22 games like that. You've got a bunch of teams that have 5 games in 7 days. The Grizzlies will deal with that for 8 times, the Spurs 7, the Pistons, the Rockets, and the Mavericks 5. In the first half of the season, teams were going to play 1 time. They were going to do 5 games in 7 days. Essentially, they're playing every other day for 6 weeks, including travel. A GM said they've defaulted to survival mode. There's no more rest and recovery with COVID protocol. A head trainer said this is unlike anything they've ever seen. And as much as we saw earlier today with, 5 Astros going on the COVID list, the importance of players, coaches, staffers, everyone getting vaccinated. Because, you know, all these COVID postponements have led to a massive slam of games here in the second half in the NBA. The NHL is going to have the same problem because the NHL's got games postponed nearly every damn day. You know, Fred got me into a fantasy hockey league with him. And every day I've got somebody whose their game is postponed because of COVID. More than half the games this year have been decided by double digits. It's the highest rate since 1971 because too often one team is really shorthanded. They're out guys, whether it's COVID, whether it's injury. So we've got a lot of non-competitive games this year because when you're slamming all these games together, different teams, different injuries, different maintenance on this player, that player, you're not always getting the whole team. Have we not seen that with the Rockets this year? And when have the Rockets even had a stretch where for like five games in a row, they had the same starting lineup? So I would expect that there will be discussion in the offseason about how to redo the NBA schedule. And judging by the amount of people who are unhappy with these play-in games, we might see a change to how that's done next year. I don't think the league is going to give up what essentially are extra playoff games because that's revenue. And once you get a taste of that revenue, you never want to give back. Just ask anybody who ever paid for a toll road in Houston. Oh, we'll stop charging the tolls once the road is paid for. Road's never paid for. Hit the home stretch. The Ask Us Anything portion of the program next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, home stretch. It's the Ask Us Anything portion of the program. 713-780-3776. Sports, not sports. Get it in now. Oh, look, the Astros just scored a third run. Yuli driving in a Ledmus. It's 6-3. Astros have cut the lead in half. Before we get into this segment, got to tell you about our friends down at the West Bar and Grill. You know, the West is a Beaumont institution. Always a great place to catch all the games all the time. They feature a menu with steak, shrimp, wings, burgers, catfish, and more. In fact, tonight, Wednesday, hey, it's a crawfish night. Saturday is a crawfish night, too. Wednesdays and Saturdays, add crawfish to the menu. You know you're going to find something you love on the menu at the West. They offer all your favorite beers, all your favorite wines, all your favorite spirits. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your drinks while you're taking in the games, while you're playing your favorite pub games. You know, they've got all of them. Pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard, arcade games. I love arcade games. In fact, if you can find any place that's got an NBA Jam video game, I can tell you where I am going to be. Happy hour always in effect, all day till 6 p.m. Ask my buddy Mike Hamilton. He's the owner. He's going to take great care of you. The West Bar and Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, a half mile north of I-10. Check out their Facebook page for event, The West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together. Head to the West, Beaumont Institution. Now, a lot's been being made of Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy this week and, you know, Rodgers suiting up. And well, you knew that this was ultimately going to happen while Rodgers was on Jeopardy.
In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned five NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh?
Okay. Title waves for...
Now, I don't know about the canned laughter, but I love this. Hey, go again, I guess. Is Aaron, did you feel like that was staged? Like they were all told, hey, don't answer. We want to get Aaron to have a reaction. Or do you think they're really just that stupid?
No, I think people are that stupid and the dude just took a stab. I mean, anybody who knows even the remote smallest thing about basketball and legends, you had two answers. Total. Celtics, Lakers. If you're a smart person and you're on a show for smart people, you're going to stab with one of those two forks. And one of them's going to hit.
I just feel like, you know, NFL being the most popular sport, people would know about the Packers of the 60s, especially since they won the first two Super Bowls. People might have some kind of history with, you know, Bart Starr and the Packers, Vince Lombardi and the Packers. Might have heard of them. And the fact that you would know basketball ahead of the NFL, especially since we're talking about 50s and 60s era. I mean, if we talked 50s era football, what, you'd say Giants, Bears, 60s, you'd say Packers. It's, you know, they're not a lot. I was just kind of surprised. Like, everything, nobody could figure out who the Packers were with the Packers quarterback being the host. Like, yeah, you just, I don't know. It almost seemed too well planned. But again, we can never put past the stupidity of, quote, smart people. We are going to have fans in Vegas. Apparently, Vegas is going to be open as of, what is it, May 1st? So on April 30th, everyone's booking their flight to Vegas like maniacs, right? Vegas is fully opened. It's going to be insane. Well, UFC 264 is going to be in Vegas. Here is Dana White talking about the headliner.
What's up, everybody? UFC President Dana White here. I am so happy to finally be able to say Vegas is back. This summer, Las Vegas is back open for business, and on July 10th, UFC 264 will be at the T-Mobile Arena here in Vegas at 100% capacity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 20,000 fans. And this card will be headlined by the third fight between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. Tickets go on sale this week, so log on to AXS.com and get your tickets now. July 10th, UFC 264, T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas. Finally, Vegas is open again, and you know you've been wanting a badass weekend in Vegas. So do not miss it. Go to AXS.com right now, and I will see you in July.
Never have truer words been spoken than when Dana White said, you know you've been waiting for a badass weekend in Vegas. Vegas having been closed for so long, and you know everybody wants to just go to Vegas and have one of those weekends that stays there. And while you're at it, go check out UFC 264. I know I would like to go to UFC 264. I would like to go to Vegas and watch the fight. That being said, Aaron, if McGregor loses this fight, I mean, look, I kind of feel like the bloom is long off the rose with Conor McGregor. But if he loses this fight, I mean, I don't think he's going to lose his job. But the idea of him ever fighting top five guys again, that's gone, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't perform in the ring, it doesn't matter what kind of trash talk you can produce. When it's gone, it's gone. And nobody wants to watch a guy get beat. Nobody's going to book. Dana White's not going to reward people like that. Yes, he makes a lot of money, but he's not going to reward him with a big-name fight if he knows he's just going to go in there and get destroyed.
Because
it's going to do is piss off your fans. If he goes in there, can't even last two rounds, then they stop buying your pay-per-views altogether.
It's got to be somebody who's a big name like him, who's just on the downside of their thing, and it's just one of their, okay, you know what, we're going to take two guys who once upon a time were great fighters, Now they're on the other side of the hill, but they haven't fought each other, so they're going to fight each other. Now, we've seen that too, but the amount of money that McGregor could possibly demand certainly would go down. And ultimately, I think that's the bigger issue for him in UFC. Has more to deal with if Conor becomes a draw fighter and not a top fighter. Well, you have to beat somebody to continue to be a draw, and Conor's going to want those big paydays. But if you're not fighting for belts, or you're not fighting, you know, number one contender fights to be the guy for the belt, you can't demand the big money in UFC. And that's going to wind up with McGregor getting out of UFC and into Bellator. Which, by the way, I happen to enjoy Bellator. Maybe a lot of people think they're not quite on the level of UFC. Still an enjoyable product. Going to do it for us for today. Appreciate all our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. Aaron Rabel on the side of the glass, keeping everything rolling. We're back tomorrow night. 7 o'clock. We'll see you then, late hitters.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. When the crowd goes wild. Real fun sports.